The Enoch circle is divided into 365 units. Now, you're not limited. You know, you start out the antechamber of the pyramid. I'm not doing any reviewing tonight. Is that all right? I mean, you guys just go. You don't know what I'm talking about. Go buy the tape and sit down and listen solid for about 40 hours and then come back. Now, we're not left to just any old circle. You can divide this circle. Not, better draw better than that. You can draw that circle, and that's not the best circle in the world, but it's probably as good as the earth. You can divide that into 365 units and a quarter. You can divide this one into that's the worst circle, 365 units and a quarter. But the length of the unit will be different. Right? You got to have some controlling unit somewhere. Now, the pyramid, you head into the north face. This is north. When you're going north, the other direction is south, isn't it? And when you're heading south, where's east? To your left, isn't it? If I'm going south, that's east. And your right, there isn't any other alternative, is there? Your right's west. You head into this pyramid. By the way, this pyramid is constructed of many courses, you know, and they're not all the same size. Right on up. You know how many courses to the top, and it's flat on top, by the way. You know how many courses to the top? You don't. A very important number. Remember that. You got to find it. The courses are very important. Get the camera over there. I just put the number down. Now, the pyramid is a many-sided building. You know how many? How many? Come on. How many sides has the pyramid got? All right. It's that kind of pyramid, if you're looking down from the sky upward, I mean the sky downward. It's square, because it's the kind of pyramid that has four sides, not three. I never claimed to be the best artist in the world, but I'm very good, as you can see. Now, here's one side, two, three, four. Somebody said four. Somebody else said how many? Somebody said five? Well, you've got to crawl in on the bottom here. Bottom. That's five. Because it's got a flat base, right? So that's five. I mean, you lifted up in the sky up here and just held it up. Five. Somebody said six. Where do you get the sixth one? Flat on the top, because they didn't put the cornerstone in at the top, so it's five-sided. Counting the top equals six. That's the number of a man. Man messed it up. When the chief cornerstone, and how many of you know there's only one kind of building in the world that has a chief cornerstone? The pyramid, as I said the other day. Only the pyramid has a chief cornerstone that ties all four sides together. When the chief cornerstone goes in, how many sides does the pyramid have? Drops back down to five. That's Christ's number, the number of grace, right? Into this pyramid from the north side, you enter at a certain course. That's important too. Well, let's scratch it out. I don't want you to know the number yet. There's a number that it goes in. King's chambers is a very important course, too. Everything in this pyramid is a mathematical prophetic utterance. Haven't you ever asked yourself why the New Testament calls Enoch a prophet? Prophets have a function. Now, this pyramid you enter in at a certain point, And there's a descending passage that then straightens out. At a certain point, there's an ascending passage. Then it gets bigger. Then it drops off. And there's another horizontal passage that takes off to a queen chamber. And the queen's chamber has its own dimensions, and the king's chamber has its dimensions. So you have this upward process that levels off here, levels off here, and you have the downward process that ends up in a pit. And then you got a strange well shaft going off up through there. The pyramid inches that you can count off down to here and count off in the ascending passages upward to here, each inch represents a year, because as you move into this section here toward the king's chamber that starts horizontal after you get out of this broad, expansive, what's called a hall of truth and light, you move into what's called the antechamber. And the antechamber, right at the entrance of this pyramid, or rather right at the entrance of this passageway that goes into the king's chamber where the open coffer is, the dimensions of that antechamber enable you, it's like the map room of the architect. The dimensions of that antechamber exactly lay out the Enoch circle, which give you the exact length of the inch that we're calling the pyramid inch, that suddenly is discovered to be a primitive sacred inch that long predated the pyramid, because it goes back to God. It's the same inch factor that was used in the construction of the Ark of the Covenant. It's the same inch factor computed in cubits that was given by God to Ezekiel in the measurements of the temple to be built during the millennium. It was the same unit of measurement that was used in Solomon's temple. It is coded in God's book, because God's book talks about the short cubit and the long cubit, and the long cubit is the sacred cubit. Therefore, it is also used in the building of Noah's Ark. It's in the pyramid. By the way, it's also found again in Stonehenge and a couple other places. Just threw that in. This dimension is repeated in a half a dozen other places that give you cross-check references for what the size of the Enoch circle must be, which is right here in this antechamber giving you as the pattern, so you know the length of the pyramid inch. Pyramid inch, five of them times five, five squared produces a cubit. A cubit is the unit of measure that is usually used in these ancient construction formulas. Now, a cubit comes from a Latin word in our language that means elbow. And we have a primitive, not a primitive, that isn't really the word, profane would be the better word, cubit, that is measured like they used to have among primitive people that allegedly used to be our predecessors. And we got smart enough in recent days to discover sounder units of measurement. But many of you know that we have in our history periods of time when they measured things by a thumb breadth. Have you ever seen a dozen different men and measured their thumb to know how inaccurate measurements were? A hand's breadth. And a cubit was measured to the elbow. Unreliable. I mean, if you got arms like Popeye, you got a different cubit than a midget. Whose arm is the standard? The strongest arm in town? Or the prettiest arm in town? Measurements are taken for granted by us. And historians used to mock ancient systems of measurement and how smart we'd become as Darwin's theory of evolution was applied to social evolution, and we all got smarter as time went on. we got awful dumb as time went on, and only recently, from the standpoint of history, have started to smarten up a bit, thanks to guys like Tesla and others. But the old-timers were smarter than any of us have become. The pyramid is the greatest reputation. You know something? If some of these poor, fire-breathing fundamentalists that think that the world is going to lose God, I mean, God's going to fall clear off of the corner of the globe, wherever it is he sits, and hell's going to take over because evolution is being taught in the schools, and we must teach creation. And a liberal court in a crazy Antichrist world with the spirit of Antichrist at work in it are winning the battles. I wish my granddad could teach some churchman how to fight. He ought to hear bossy him. I wouldn't even go in there and argue God and creation anymore. I would try to get on the legislature the necessity that every kid growing up has to study the pyramid in the name of becoming a good mathematician, if nothing else. Because when he gets done with the pyramid, Darwin's dead, my friend. I would require every kid growing up to explain who in the world today and who any time could have built this pyramid. Do you know how hard it is to align true north? Anybody got a compass here? How many of you know that when you have a compass, that's not true north? Somebody was telling me the other day about somebody that went to either Antarctica, the South Pole, or the North Pole, and took a picture of themselves walking around the pole. I can't remember where that was, but do you have any idea what direction the compass is pointing if you are 50 yards apart standing on each side of the pole? Hey, Joe, you an engineer?
Yeah.
If you and I were at the North Pole, and we got on opposite sides of the North Pole, and each of us got our compass out, if it would work, which way would your compass be pointing? I love to do this with engineers. The pole is between us, Joe, and we're each holding the compass. Which way is the needle pointing? Well, Gary, you run the radio. You want to answer? No, that isn't what I want.
Not for you.
Is it pointing toward the pole?
The pole wouldn't be between the true north pole.
Huh? Okay, I'm not asking anything about the true north pole. I'm asking let's start with the first question. What does the needle on a compass point to? I got a transmitter man up there. Tell me.
Magnetic north.
Where in the heck is that? A lodestone somewhere near the North Pole. Well, what is the North Pole? Let's go back behind that. Let's answer that question. What's the North Pole? That's the axis point of the Earth on its spinning on its axis, north and south. Now, how is that located? I'm told it shifts. Meridian's okay. How do you locate the meridians? Huh? All right, we got, limited time. We're on television. Let me just take that lodestone. I'm going to simplify this. The magnetic needle of the compass, at least we've convinced ourselves of this, that the magnetic needle of the compass, you can't even guarantee it, points to the North Pole in terms of the spin point of the axis, right? It's a lodestone somewhere near the North Pole, right? Correct? I'm looking at my transmitter man over there. Yeah, okay. Now, we are on each side of that magnetic landmark. You're 50 yards on that side, and I'm 50 yards on this side. And we're looking dead at each other. Which way is your magnetic needle going to point? Joe? Well, now, what does... If the needle points toward the lodestone, is that what it does? And you're on the exact opposite side of the lodestone from me, and we're looking at each other. Why won't the needle point to each? Why won't my needle point to you and your needle point to me? Yeah, well, good. Hallelujah! I got it. That in essence, it's the damn needle's pointing the wrong direction. I mean, how can a compass point north when they're each going opposite directions? We're standing that point. I just made a great thing out of the simplest thing we all know. The reason it sounded so complicated is I made it that way. I have a gift of making simple things sound complicated. The essence of what I've just said is the... Me and Art. The essence of what I've just said is that if this is that lodestone... One guy standing there, his needle points that way, and the other guy standing on the other side, his needle points that way. You sure can't locate north with that needle. That's all I'm saying. You don't pull a compass out to figure out where north is. I mean, God did not use a compass. North is tough to find. Plenty tough. Do you know that all of modern science, with all of its astronomy, can't find a building or build a building anywhere in this world related to true north as north is? As accurate as this pyramid. Here's the old globe spinning on its axis, so to speak. That's an artificial line I'm going to draw through the middle of it. Somewhere up here near that thing is a lodestone that compasses magnetic needle point to. As this thing spins on its axis, that pole points out yonder to some star, some fixed star in all the heavens that's moving. That's true north. I mean, if you're standing right here, that close, the needles are pointing to each other, that's a magnetic point. That's magnetic north. That's not true north. And the further that is out there, if you know anything about trajectory, the further it is, the more accurate that line has to be. And when you line up a building, say over here on the globe, and it's spinning, we saw it's going so many thousand miles a day and a minute, and going through space, you've got to find here a building on the edge of the globe here that's going around and wobbling and spinning around the sun. And you got to build a building that's lined up in such a way so that if this is north, the building is absolutely, if you were to sight it in like a telescope from its points, the building is perfectly aligned to hit from its spot on the earth that same fixed star out there. You know how hard that is to do? Now, we got telescopes. We got... all these fancy pieces of equipment that can shoot a satellite out to photograph Saturn. We've got all the knowledge of the heavens that has been worked out since the ignoramus man coming back out of dark ages compounded, decided the earth wasn't flat and the universe didn't go around the earth. We, with all our modern instrumentation, cannot build a building aimed on true north as accurate as the pyramid is, and the pyramid is still more accurate, though it's a little off, but not off in measurement, simply because the ground and the granite has subsided enough that it's just a hair off, but it's still more accurate than any building in the earth. Multi-ton stones, we've already talked about. cut vertically and cemented. Now, have you ever spread cement on something? Flat. Get molded ton stones and cement them vertically. Don't cement them flat and then turn them over. Cement them vertically. And do it in a way that you can spread that cement evenly until it will glue together. That makes this glue you see in TV ads. What kind is it? Crazy glue. Look like taffy. And they can make it whole with even texture in sections as big as that whole platform the singers sing on, vertically. In stones cut that are so narrow you can't get a knife blade between them, and they not only cut them to fit that sharp and that tight, but put cement between them vertically. And man's best efforts today cannot duplicate that cement. Even crazy glue will not do it. Stupid French. The French Revolution, you know, that was the age of reason. Stupid French. The stupid Frenchman decided this is the North Pole, the axis, so they would figure out a measuring device that was accurate, based on the Earth. They worked backwards. So they figured out how to measure the distance from the pole to the equator. And they divide that into equal units and come up with the French metric system, which some jackass would like to put into this system. That's as late as the French Revolution, the Age of Reason. But because the surface of the Earth is so uneven, as a major mathematical critic of the French system says, they should have figured out a way to measure from here to here. Because that's a fixed distance from the pole to the equator vertical. But to try to go around the Earth's surface, because the globe is not a true sphere, they come up with an inaccuracy that is not an accurate measurement. The pyramid, figured out years ago and designed the pyramid on its own sacred inches that are making up, figuring the 365 and a quarter inches around the Enoch circle, which is permanently implanted in this antechamber before you go into the king's chamber. The inches that are exact in the pyramid, taken to the height of the pyramid, gives you a factor that is the radius exactly of the globe on a factor that can be, take that inch that is the controlling inch of the pyramid inch, and you will find that it is exactly 1/500 millionth. 1/500 millionth of that diameter of the globe. And 4,000 years ago plus, they built a pyramid aligned to exact north with the controlling inch length in it, measuring unit increment. The exact increment that if you use it to measure the Earth, the pyramid is exactly, the perimeter, exact measurement of this pyramid is exactly the circumference of a circle that is twice, whose diameter is twice the height of the pyramid. Take the pyramid and put another one down underneath it and draw a circle around it, and it's the exact scale model of the size of the Earth. divide this pyramid, this double pyramid, from peak to peak into 500 million units, and you have, or you take the pyramid and divide this into the number of inches, just take these inches and equalize them, one of these inches that comprise the unit of the pyramid is 1/500 millionth of the size of the earth. So this is exactly 1/500 millionth the size of the earth. Exactly. Like you look at a map with an insert. The pyramid would be the little scale model from which you could project with absolute precision the size of the earth. 4,000 years ago, they could tell you, as I've said, each of the years. Now, in that proof of divine handiwork, not a tomb. And every other pyramid in Egypt, by the way, heads down. None of them have ascending passages. They all go down to some tomb. This one has the ascending passages. And taking an inch to a year until you get to the horizontal passages, at which time, like the minute hands has also an hour hand, the minute hands take over, and each horizontal passage suddenly breaks down to where each inch, pyramid inch, equals a month. And as you take these inches, you can plot with precision, as I've been saying. You can't change the inches. Once you start with an inch here, the inch stays the same. You come so many inches to here, so many inches to here, so many inches to here. The exact date of Exodus from Egypt's bondage carried to this point where up goes the gallery to a larger size to distinguish between truth progressing upward in bondage, the law, from truth progressing upward in light, which is the gospel age. The exact number of inches bring you to the birth, and the exact number of inches bring you to the death and resurrection of Christ, and the exact number of inches bring you to 1914. And the exact number of inches bring you to the end of the war on another scale. 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, each unit, and a 6,000-year history of man is laid out in stone. Nobody can quibble with it. That's God's testimony in stone.